ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमा धीमहि दुर्गे प्रचोदयात। The last two classes, I only discussed the two subtle koshas, Manomaya Koshaha and Vijnanamaya Koshaha, because that is where the doubt comes. See, the Upanishads make it very clear. So we have to discover the truth. We have to understand the truth, the reality. So how to understand the reality? First, Upanishad says that truth is the cause of the universe. The reality is the cause of the universe. By saying it, which means the whole universe has come into existence from the reality, Brahman. If reality is the cause, then universe is the effect. And thereby, it's also made clear, if the universe is the effect, if Brahman is the cause, and no effect has existence independently without the cause. So the effect is inseparable from it, the cause. Especially material cause. Therefore, the whole, when you say the effect is nothing but the cause, therefore the whole universe is the Brahman. And having said that, if the whole universe is Brahman, that means the universe negates the causal status attributed to Brahman. Because there's no effect, there's no such a thing called effect. Why? Because effect is never countable. Effect is non-countable. Why effect is non-countable? Because effect has no independent existence. Countability is dependent on its independent existence. The sofa is here, the chair is here. If we take the sofa away, still chair can be here, irrespective of the presence or absence of the sofa. So existence of this chair is not dependent on the existence of the sofa. The two different forms, two different names, and two different purposes they serve. More people can sit. No, only one person can sit. The purpose also is different. So when it is taken away, still it can continue to exist. Which means existence of one thing is not dependent on the existence of the other thing. Presence of one thing is not dependent on the presence of the other thing. Then we can count as what? Okay, sofa is one, chair is number two. So countability is dependent on the independent existence. So no effect is countable. Why? Because effect has no independent existence without the cause. Because effect is not countable, because it doesn't have independent existence, effect also has another title, mithya. Mithya means it is non-countable. Then what is countable then? Cause alone is countable. So effect is non-countable means you resolve the effect as mithya in the very cause. When the effect status attributed to the universe is negated, then we say, then Brahman also is not the cause. Because causal status also is negated. But what is said is, what is only Brahma. What is only Brahma. So Brahman alone is in the form of the whole universe. So existence or the presence of the effect presupposes what? Existence of the Brahman. In fact, universe is, the existence of the universe is Brahma. Existence enjoyed by the universe is Brahma. The reality implied by the term Brahma. This existence associated with existence enjoyed by the universe is the reality implied by the term Brahma. So if ask in what form Brahman is, where is Brahman, in what form Brahman is, what is Brahma? Because when you say chair is, definitely wood alone is in the form of the chair. When you say chain is, gold alone is in the form of chain. Any ornament is, gold alone is in the form of an ornament. So also when you say the world is, Brahman alone is in the form of the universe. In what form does Brahman obtain here? Brahman obtains in the form of existence of the universe. So understand, Upanishad helps us understand Brahman in terms of its nature of existence. But even then, it will not be clear. So Brahman is that from which the universe has come into existence, in which the universe enjoys existence, in which the universe resolves also, that is the reality Brahma, like that from which all the waves come into existence, in which the waves enjoy existence, and into which the waves resolve, that is the water, the truth of ocean. Similarly, the universe is, Brahman is the truth of the universe. Brahman is the truth of the universe means, when we are helped to understand Brahman as the very existence of the universe, from which, as the cause of the universe, as the that without which the universe cannot exist at all, and the method of arriving at Brahman as existence of the universe is called Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam. We are directly helped to understand, indirectly understanding the truth. And then, but we need to know what is that reality in which the universe enjoys existence, which is the existence of the universe, which alone lends existence to the universe. And there, there's no way, there's only one way that reality of the universe implied by the term Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness has to be arrived at only as the truth of the experiencer of the universe. Reality, the entire world of objective universe, the truth of the objective universe, the truth which alone is in the form of the objective universe. The truth is in the form of the objective universe means the entire objective universe is the truth. The truth which is in the form of the objective universe, in the form of the object called universe, is not an object. Okay? The reality which is in the form of the objective universe, which is in the form of the object called universe, is not an object. It means the truth which is in the form of the object called universe has to be understood is available for recognition only as the truth of the subject, the experiencer, the knower of the universe. This is also the fact revealed by the Upanishads. If the truth is available for recognition, the truth has to be arrived at only as the swarupam, the truth of the experiencer, the subject, experiencer, the knower, subject of knowledge, experiencer of the universe, then who is the experiencer? Who is the knower? You have to arrive at the knower, arrive at the experiencer, then only you can understand who that experiencer is, what that experiencer is. Now, every one of us can say, I am the experiencer of the universe. Why? I am experiencing the universe, I am the experiencer of the universe, and the entire world is object of my experience. I am the knower of the universe. Because I know. How do you know that you are the knower? I know. I know I am the knower. I know I am the experiencer because I am experiencing the world. The world is object of my experience. It means, who are you? You are the experiencer. Who are you? And here, it's very important to, when you say, I am the knower, I am the experiencer. So, I the experiencer am an individual here. Because of my identity with this body, mind, sense complex, these three bodies, which can be divided into five layers of personality as panchakoshas. So, who am I? Who the individual am I? So, here, to arrive at the swarupam of the knower, reality, obtaining as the swarupam of the knower, the experiencer, even though drik prishiveka prakriya is there, another most effective prakriya is the panchakosha prakriya, the analysis of five layers of personality. And because every individual, the so-called individual, who is here as the experiencer of the world, the knower of the world, is endowed with this gross physical body and a board of enjoyment, without which the enjoyment of the world, enjoyment of objects, enjoyment of pleasures derived from the enjoyment perception of objects or experience of the world also is not possible. It's, the physical body is an abode of enjoyment, and then which is definitely which happens to be the modified form of food, and which is elemental, this elemental material product, therefore it is of the nature of inertness, and this physical body also is an object of enjoyment, like it is external object of enjoyment. The abode of enjoyment, okay, the knower is endowed with an abode of enjoyment, which is also an object of knowledge, like any other external object of enjoyment. It's an object. It's an object. Therefore, experiencer, I the experiencer, am distinct from this abode of enjoyment, even though the experiencer is not distant from the abode of enjoyment. Then, there are also subtle, imperceptible aspects, which are this, we can say, physiological functions, five different functions which are happening constantly, and those functions and also the five powers of organs of actions, these five powers must be functional. The five powers are functional because there are also pranas, constantly pranas are there, the supply of energy. So these five functions also are subtle and internal to the body. And where do the pranas exist? You can't really go and search for the pranas. But functions are happening. We can only understand the functions being manifest, functions happening. You can't see through physical eyes each and every function. But functions are happening. So subtle. Therefore, prana onwards, we say subtle aspects indwelling the gross body. And these powers of organs of actions, because of the presence of which the body, when these powers are functional, the physical body can be active. The powers are non-functional, physical body will be inactive. The five karma indriyani, pancha karma indriyani, five powers of organs of actions, up to your hands, legs, no, organ of speech, organ of reproduction and excretory organs. These five powers must be functional. Only then physical body can be active. Otherwise body will be lying like a dead body. Even life is there. It will be as good as dead body. They may be functional. So the five powers also subtle. So they connected with the activities, physical activity, actions. So internal functions and physical external actions. So involuntary functions happening internally, and the voluntary activities possible on the part of the physical body. All of them are what? Because of these five powers of organs of the five powers. Involuntary functions happen, but the physical voluntary actions are possible only when the powers are functional. They are also internal. You can't locate them, but they are there. You can't physically perceive them, they are very much there. So they also come under the subtle aspects indwelling the physical body. So these 10 alone together are given a different name, as looked upon as a next layer of personality. Immediately after the physical layer of personality, what is associated with the physical body are the five powers of organs of actions, karmendriyani, and five physiological functions, because of which the body is alive and active. So those, even though we do not see them through physical eyes, but they are also objects of knowledge. Karmendriyani are objects of knowledge. Also object. They are also, even the subtle, how do we say that they are also objects of knowledge? Because there is a time they are functional. There is a time they are non-functional. Karmendriyani are not always functional. There is a time they are non-functional. In deep sleep, when we say deep sleep state, when all the thoughts are resolved, karmendriyani are non-functional. Therefore, what happens? The non-functional means the body becomes inactive. The physical body's movements, activities, is purely dependent on functioning of the karmendriyani. Of course, pranas are there, therefore the body is alive. But activity on the physical body, see, as long as pranas are functional, body is alive. But body is inactive in the karmendriyani or non-functional. For the physical body to be alive, only pranas need to be functional. For the physical body to be active, Karmendriyani must be functional, to move around. Isn't it? So all the time they are not functional. So Karmendriyani all the time not functional. See, pranas are functional always. They have to be functional. But Karmendriyani are not functional always. It means the Karmendriyani being functional is known. Karmendriyani being non-functional also is known. When their non-functional body is as good as dead in sleep, and their functional body is active. Therefore, Karmendriyani also, even though they are very subtle, the powers being functional and non-functional can be understood from the standpoint of, when you understand the body being inactive and body being active. You will negate that also as what now? Even though Karmendriyani form part of subtle aspects indwelling the physical body, which form part of the individual, but still they are also subtle objects of experience, objects of knowledge, like any other external object, like the physical body. So pranas are also objects of experience, objects of enjoyment, object of knowledge. Even they are part of the individual. Therefore, what is the distance between the experiencer, I the experiencer, and the experienced, known this physiological functions and the Karmendriyani? There is no distance. So between two physical forms, the distance is relative. Absolutely there is no distance. Because there is no difference. So difference is relative, distance also is relative. Therefore this is called Pranamaya Kosha. Then we moved on to Manomaya Kosha and Vijnanamaya Kosha, which we discussed last class. I said one antahkaranam is given two different functional names as manaha and buddhihi. And this manaha, mind and intellect, are nothing but one antahkaranam alone. So there is a dravyamshaha and there is vrittyamshaha. Dravyamsha must always be there, from which the vrittis rise and vrittis resolve. Vrittyamsha. Dravyamsha and vrittyamsha are inseparable again. Very subtle. So we say, here this antahkaranam is given two different names as buddhi and manaha. Two different functional names, which means there's a function of being, having function of having the status of being the doer. Thereby the enjoyer. Function of having the status of being the doer or enjoyer. And the function of being instrument of knowledge, knowing. So one is said to be kartrutvam, another is karanatvam. Kartrutva means having the status of being the doer, and karanatva means having the status of being the instrument of knowledge. See, there are sense powers, and five sense powers also are subtle, which also indwell the physical form, gross physical form. And they had their own corresponding respective place also called Golakam, physical part. the seeing power has its own place, hearing power has its own place. Each locus is a physical part which is called Golakam. And we have five Golakas, Golakani, the physical parts where, corresponding, given locus of each power. And the five sense powers, only through these five sense powers, the entire objective universe, external world is perceived. So instruments of perception are also said to be instruments of knowledge, the five powers, the subtle powers. Jnana Indriyani. And this, the antakarana, the vrittis when arise, vrittis through the five sense powers, power the external world of objects, the perception takes place, and thereby knowledge of what is takes place. So vrittis have to rise, only then sense powers can be functional. And when this vrittis, the thoughts which rise, thought modifications which rise, and the vritti amsha of the antakarana when they rise, and they can, the sense powers can be functional. Then the external, the perception is possible. Only when the perception is possible, knowledge of what is possible. Isn't it? So vrittis have to rise for the sense powers to be functional. When the sense powers are functional, perception can take place. Only then knowledge of what is possible. Knowledge of the world is possible. If vrittis don't rise, the vrittis are resolved. Mind is, okay, this non-functional. Then the sense powers cannot be functional. Like in deep sleep state, the knowledge cannot take place. Then the world will lose its status of being the existent, the known. Is it clear? So what I want to say here, so mind serves as an instrument of knowledge. Why? The vrittis rise, only then the sense powers can be functional, only then perception can take place, only then knowledge of the world is possible. Knowledge of the existence of the world is possible. Is it clear? That's why in deep sleep state, these sense powers are resolved, non-functional, then no knowledge, no perception takes place, no knowledge takes place. See, what I'm saying is not a new teaching, but I'm helping you to understand things differently today. Which means, even the sense powers are also objects, even though they're part of the individual. Sense powers are not far away, not at all distant from the experiencer, I, the experiencer, knower. There's no distance between the experiencer and the sense powers. They're part of the individual. At the same time, the sense powers are also objects of experience, objects of knowledge. Because we understand there's a time the sense powers are functional, when the knowledge of the world is possible. There's a time the sense powers are non-functional, and knowledge of the world is not possible, not there, isn't it? In deep sleep state, the sense powers are resolved, non-functional, no perception takes place, therefore the world loses its status of being the known, the world loses its status of being existent. There's no knowledge of that the world is. Therefore, for the knowledge of the world to rise, in the form of a thought, there must be vrittis rising to make to back up the sense powers for them to become functional. Is it clear? Therefore, this antahkaranam, the vritti amsha of the vritti amsha, the vritti aspect, the thoughts which rise, they serve as instrument of knowledge. Therefore, antahkaranam is given the status what? Karanam, an instrument of internal instrument of knowledge. What do you say internal? Because mind thoughts have to rise first for the sense powers, the external for them to function. Which functions first? My mental function is first, and sense power, the sensory functions second, isn't it? Which is dependent? Sensory function is dependent on mental function. Therefore, we say sense organs are bahya karanani, external instruments of knowledge. Mind is said to be the internal instrument of knowledge. There's no internal out and external otherwise. Okay, it's only purely relative. So, karanam. Now, we ask the question, how do we say, what is my intellect then? If the instrument of action, instrument of knowledge is there, for the instrument of knowledge cannot function by itself. Instrument of knowledge needs a person, needs the one who uses the instrument of knowledge, the one who operates the instrument of knowledge. Now the question comes, who is the user, enjoyer, operator of this instrument of knowledge? You have to say, there must be the user. So there cannot be knower, there cannot be user of the instrument of knowledge. There cannot be operator of the instrument of knowledge. There cannot be doer of activities. And next question comes, who is the doer? Who is the user? So we say the doer, even for the instrument of knowledge to be functional, to be there, to be existent as the instrument of knowledge, there must be the user of the instrument. Without which the instrument of knowledge will be as good as non-existent. So now we say this instrument of knowledge along with sense powers, six of them together, given looked upon as another layer of personality called manomayaha. So there cannot be doer, enjoyer, experiencer, there cannot be the user without the manifestation of knowledge of the existence of the very self in the form of a thought in terms of I am. Okay, for the antakarna vrittis to rise to back the sense organs, thereby to have the status of being instrument of knowledge, it presupposes what? That. So can there be doer, user, without the manifestation of knowledge, I sense? Therefore, this I, when it is expressed as I, the expression of the manifestation of knowledge, in the form of a thought, isn't it? And that is the first and the foremost of the thoughts. It is the manifestation of knowledge, is the first thought, first manifestation. Foremost of the manifestations is what? And highest form of manifestation is this knowledge of the existence of the self. I am. And without this thought, if there is no manifestation of knowledge of the self, in terms of I and I am, then there cannot be other vrittis. There cannot be other instrument of knowledge. Therefore, this knowledge of the existence of self, there cannot be the doer also. Without the manifestation of which knowledge, without the manifestation of which knowledge, there cannot be something called a doer or a user or enjoyer. And that knowledge itself is what now? Said to be what? We say, buddhihi vijnanamaya, which is the karta. The knowledge without the manifestation of which there cannot be doer or user, enjoyer, is said to be the buddhihi. Or we say what? Karta, no? Vijnanamayaha. All of them are vrittis only, isn't it? So, vijnanamayaha. Karta, bhokta, so vijnanamayaha. And there's a standpoint of this knowledge of the existence of the world, and because of which kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is possible, enjoyership and doership is possible. This antakaram is given the name vijnanamayaha, vijna, buddhihi. The standpoint of the vrittis which rise, which back the senses, thereby knowledge of the world is possible. It is given the title, okay, instrument of knowledge, karanam. It's a karta and karanam. Who is the karta? Antakaranam is the karta. Okay? Who is the karanam? Antakaranam is the karanam. When do you call antakaranam karanam? The standpoint of the sense organs becoming functional and knowledge takes place, it is the antakaranam. It is said to be karanam. Is it clear now? So, karta and karanam, both are antakaranam only. As a karanam, it is manaha. As a karta, it is buddhihi. Is it clear? And as a karta, it is vijnanamayaha. As a karanam, it is manomayaha. But, karta also, karta and karanam, as buddhi and manaha, associated with the sense organs. When the karta is associated with the, when the eyesense is associated with the sense organs, I am the seer, I am the perceiver, I am the hearer, I am the, okay, like that. When the sense organs are associated with the mind, there is sound, there is form, there is color, the knowledge. So the, is it clear now? So the, I am the seer. So I associate with the sense organ. The sense organs all associated with the both mind and intellect. Therefore given what? We say sense organs with manaha is manomayaha. Sense organs with the intellect is vijnanamayaha. And they're all objects of knowledge. Because they're not there always. Whenever when the thoughts resolve, all thoughts resolve, vritti amsha is resolved, then dravyamsha is, you know, also resolves, then there is no perception, no function takes place, no activity takes place, then body is alive but as good as dead. Therefore, because there is a time they are functional, there is a time they are non-functional, they are all objects of knowledge. Because their being functional is known, their being non-functional also is known. Isn't it? Even though this vrittyamshaha, dravyamshaha, antakkaranam, as karta, as karanam, very subtle matter and is part of the individual alone, still is an object of knowledge. Therefore, the knower or the experiencer, I the knower, am distinct from this, okay, non-distinctly known antakkaranam, manomayaha and vijnanamayaha. Okay, even when the vrittis do not rise, all the vrittis are resolved. Antakkaranam is totally non-functional resolved. Even then, something else is. That is called sukshma vrittihi. What is? Even when there is no manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, that is sthula vrittihi. I am is what? There is a vritti. Vritti means vritti amsha, thought. Manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am is called what? Thought. Thought form, thought modification is sthula vritti. The world is sthula vritti. The light is a sthula vritti. But when the manifestation is not there, then there must be what? Atisukshma vritti. Much subtler vritti. Then what else is there that time? What is there? Vritti also means what is. Okay, what is then? When the sthula vrittis are not, all the vrittis are resolved, mind is non-functional, then also something else is there. What is experienced there? Something else is experienced. The thought being not there is experienced. The manifestation of knowledge obtaining in him of a thought, the thought being not there is experienced. When there is no manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am or the world is, thoughts are, sthula vrittis are not there, then what is what? Ignorance. I do not know I am, I do not know the world is. But the ignorance being there, you can understand when, not when you are asleep. Only when you wake up, you can say, I did not know I was, I did not know the world was. See, you must be there for you to know that you did not know. Isn't it? So the ignorance is, this knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, this knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of the world is, when these vrittis are not there, what is ignorance. Whenever there is no manifestation of knowledge at all, then what is ignorance. And ignorance is what? A vritti. Sukshma vritti. And that is experienced or not. There's also not part of individual. That's called avidya, karana shariram also. is avidya. Which is called causal body. And then, navidya is there. See, because this I sense is resolved, the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, apnum of thought, that is resolved. I sense is resolved. There is no association with any object, isn't it? There is no manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, there is no object. For something in terms of object to be there, please listen to me carefully. For something to be there in terms of an object, okay, jealousy is, hatred is, anger is, fear is, they're all objects of experience. But subtle. You must be there, isn't it? If you do not know you are, how can you know that there is jealousy, hatred, anger? So only when this manifestation of knowledge, subtle object is possible. Only when this manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, the world is, light is, etc. is possible. So the association with any object, external or internal, internally obtaining object in terms of subtle, the emotions, or externally obtaining objects, any object, when the no object is experienced, then the vritti is, isn't it? Ajnana vritti is there, ajnanam is, and the vritti, there is vritti without association with any object. Just the ignorance alone is there. Tacha vritti is called shanta vritti, antarmukha vritti. Suppose vritti is associated with any object, it is called what? Bahirmukha vritti. So in sleep you have antarmukha vritti. When do we have antarmukha vritti? Whenever you use your will and you withdraw your attention from everything else, you focus on only one given object in meditation, and as a result of which, when you even forget yourself, then you will have antarmukha vritti in waking. Otherwise, in deep sleep state, you have antarmukha vritti. In deep sleep state, you are helped to have antarmukha vritti. In meditation, you make efforts to have antarmukha vritti. Vedanta teaching helps you to have antarmukha vritti. And when there is antarmukha vritti, manifestation of fullness is possible. You can't have bahirmukha vritti and manifestation of fullness. Antarmukha means introverted. You don't need to make efforts to anything. If the thought without attention is not with any external object or any object, then that is antarmukha vritti. Is it clear? I see very clearly. I wish I can see, make you see very clearly. Okay, then there is manifestation of fullness. And whenever there is manifestation of fullness, there will be sukham, experience of sukham. Sukha means not having pain and pleasure. Of course, pleasure is sukham. But this sukham is neither pain nor pleasure. There is sukham. But this sukham is not permanent. time-bound. And is also truly manifestation of fullness. Any manifestation is time-bound, I said. Time-bound.
Yeah.
Subject to change. And there is sukham. So you call sukha vrittihi. This sukham is what? Sukham, because the manifestation of fullness, because of the antarmukha vrittihi, is called sukham. And the sukha vrittihi and ajnana vrittihi, that's what is there. When before the manifestation of knowledge, in terms of I am, as a sthula vritti, because before the rising of the sthula vritti, what is this ajnana vrittihi and sukha vrittihi, which is called anandamaya kosha. So, you carefully understand each layer of personality and subtlest layer of personality. Antakkanam itself is subtlest layer of personality. Again, much subtler is this layer of personality. Why do you call it a personality? Because it is an object of experience. It is part of the individual. Every individual has this ajnana vrittihi and sukha vrittihi in deep sleep state one can experience. It's part of the individual. It's not far from you. But still, even though subtlest layer of personality, it's also time-bound. It is not there permanently. Ajnanam is disturbed, like stillness is disturbed, wave rises. Ajnanam is also looked upon as the power of the reality. It is disturbed, then there is manifestation of knowledge as I am. Then there will be karta, then the karanam, then the sense powers function, the perception of the world. Then, isn't it? Antarmukha vrittihi cannot be there. There will be bahirmukha vrittihi. The knowledge of existence of the self in terms of I am is there as the thought rises. Thought rises. Then other thoughts rise, and then other thoughts through senses is in contact with the world. Then the vrittis are what? We have bahirmukha, one not one vritti, bahirmukha vrittis. Bahirmukha vrittayaha. Isn't it? Attention is dragged by five different sense organs. Therefore, we have not one antarmukha vrittihi. We have bahirmukha vrittayaha many. Attention is with so many things. That is why Draupadi is said to be the antakaranam mind, and who is married to five different husbands, five sense organs, and who drag her attention, her drag her to five different sites. Attention is grabbed by seeing power takes the attention of the mind towards something what is seen. And something is said, sound grabs attention. Beautiful music comes, then attention is dragged. And behind from kitchen, smell comes, that drags attention. While eating, my God, the taste grabs attention totally towards itself. Is it clear now? So when the vrittis are associated with the objects, bahirmukha vrittayaha. No object, antarmukha vrittihi. Okay? But for the vritti to be antarmukha, there should not be any object for which I myself should not. Whenever I am not there, I sense results, antarmukha vrittihi. Where I sense rises, bahirmukha vrittayaha. Bahirmukha vrittayaha. But this is not permanent. And this deep sleep also is what? No object of experience, isn't it? Because there is a time it is, there is a time it is not. When there is no ajnanam, when there is no antarmukha vritti, when there is jnanam, there is no ajnanam. When you know you are, there is no ajnanam. Then there is a world is. I am, the world is. The jnanam is. It's called half manifestation is. Then, bahirmukha vrittayaha. Then sukham goes. Then you have either pain or pleasure. Pleasure is again sukham, which is also manifestation of fraction of fullness. So pleasure. But it is disturbed, isn't it? Which means it is not permanent. The experiential sukham is not permanent, time-bound. And it is not there always. How do you know? I know. Which means I, the knower, am, I, the experiencer, am distinct from this changing, known. Isn't it? Layer of personality. Called Anandamaya Koshaha. Therefore, Anandamaya Koshaha also is Anatma only. Because it changes. Oh, having negated this far, what happens? Okay, I have negated this far. Where is the anandaha? Where is the fullness? Where is the happiness? I want to experience happiness. I negated everything. Happiness is swarupam. Where is the happiness? It is possible for us to search for happiness. And that is where we fail. Oh, I have not experienced anything. There we get stuck. So, happiness is not an object of experience. We had to understand. See, when you say this manifestation of fullness, whenever this manifestation of fullness, when the antarmukha vritti is there, as sukha means, the source of manifestation is the swarupam. Swarupa sukham. Understand? When you say this manifestation, there must be source of manifestation or not. Is it clear or not? If there is no... See, something is means, there means manifestation is means, there must be source of manifestation must be there. If I see my face, my reflection, it is something very transparent. It can be mirror, it can be stillness of water, it can be something transparent. I see my reflection on my face. The reflection presupposes what? The original face. How can there be reflection if there is no? If the wave rises, there must be source of, is it? arising. So when he said this manifestation of fullness, which is experienced as sukham, which is the, of course, temporary subject, experiential, but for there must be some source of manifestation. The source of manifestation of fullness, it is swarupam of the reality vastu, reality of the knower, swarupam of the knower. And who is the knower? The one who knows is the knower. The one who knows the, one who experiences, one who knows the vijnanamaya kosha, manamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha, the knower of anandamaya kosha, is distinct from the known anandamaya kosha. That knower is the abstract, formless reality, whose swarupam is, whose nature is fullness, ananda, happiness. Fullness, actually. I prefer the word fullness. And that is formless reality, abstract reality. Why does, so what word can I use to understand that reality? Formless, abstract, something which is, because of the presence of which anandamaya being there is known, anandamaya being not there is known. Then who is the knower? And we can use the word jnanam, pure knowledge. No way. The two, the word jnanam also is used in terms of its nature of knowing. We can ask, why does reality know? Because knowing is its nature. Why does light illumine? Nature. Okay, therefore the word jnanam is used. And it is this absolute, this is this abstract, subtlest reality, because of the presence of which the anandamaya kosha being there is known, Ajnana vritti being there is known, sukha vritti being there is known, and that reality is given the use implied by the term jnanam in terms of its nature of knowing, or chaitanyam, chit, consciousness. And that there is no knower other than that reality. Reality is not the knower. But there is no knower other than the reality. We come and search for who is the illuminator of this whole room. If you search, you have to say there is no illuminator with the form and name. Okay, this is just the light. Like that, it is pure consciousness, pure knowledge, the abstract, subtlest reality. See, I am giving the vision. I am seeing, I am making you see. You must agree with me. See, for further assimilation, you have to be contemplative. Now I'm making you see. This abstract, subtlest reality, what is in the form of subtlest thing, and which is of the nature of knowing, therefore, implied with the term jnanam, is the self of an individual, swarupam of the individual, truth of the individual, distinct but not distant from any of the layers of personality. Is of the nature of fullness. So fullness is the swarupam of this reality, consciousness. So, in antarmukha vrittihi, in ajnanam, in total ignorance, antarmukha vrittihi is possible. Then manifestation of fullness is possible, then the sukham is experienced. But through Vedanta study, if there is manifestation of, when not total ignorance, when it's when the knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am, when you understand Aham Brahma Asmi, in total manifestation of knowledge, Aham Brahma Asmi, Sarvam Kalidam Brahma, all that is there is only Brahma, total manifestation of knowledge, also there is Shanta Vrittihi possible. Because when you see the truth, even though you see everything else, still you cannot avoid the truth. Then also antarmukha vrittihi. In total knowledge also antarmukha vrittihi is possible. Then there is total manifestation of knowledge. Total manifestation of, in total ignorance, antarmukha vrittihi is there. In total knowledge also there will be antarmukha vrittihi. Then also what? There will be manifestation of fullness, which is happiness. Okay, so manifestation of fraction of fullness is pleasure. A manifestation of fullness, but temporarily, is also sukham, which is temporary experiential pleasure. And manifestation of fullness in total knowledge is manifestation of happiness. Is full happiness. Manifestation of fullness is happiness, not fraction of fullness. So, I am the source of happiness. I am the source of pleasure. I am the source of sukham. There is no experienced sukham outside of the experiencer. Anything experienced cannot be without the experiencer. How can there be experienced sukham without the experiencer of the sukham? Therefore, any sukham experienced is not outside of the experiencer. And experiencer, there is no experiencer other than the abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, it is this consciousness. It is the reality which is of the nature of knowing is the only source of sukham. Temporary sukham, time-bound pleasure, even happiness, fullness. Is it clear? Aham, anandoham, anandoham, anandoham. Hope it is clear. Yeah.
It's to do with the Shanti Ritti and the Antam Mukha Ritti and the joining of I am to I am Brahma. The I am is still there.
When?
Shanti Ritti.
Yeah. I am. No, in knowledge, I am is there. But Aham Brahma Asmi is there, in knowledge. In ignorance, there will be antarmukha vrittihi. In total knowledge also, there will be antarmukha vrittihi. Whenever you forget yourself also, there will be antarmukha vrittihi.
But there is experience of Shanti, sometimes pure bliss. all pervasive consciousness. And I know that there is a feeling of I am consciousness, but that's still I am experiencing. So I can't understand how I just need to dwell on it, really. That subtle difference of
Antarmukha vrittihi means, it's only, Antarmukha vrittihi means, suppose, say, you are, when you are just yourself, not associated with any object, that state is called Antarmukha vrittihi. You are just yourself, you are not, there's no object, you are not, attention is not associated with any object. That is called antarmukhavrittihi. See, in total ignorance, when you are not knowing you are, naturally you are not knowing the world is. There is no association with the world. There must be association with the world, means you must be there. First you should know you are. Then only you can say the world is. When there is association, then alone what happens? The reactions are possible, isn't it? Attention is associated with the world, objects. There's no world. Okay? When the attention of the mind is without any association with any object. For you to not to be associated with any object, just you must be there. That is possible when no thought rises, you are just yourself. Whenever you are just yourself, there is no association with the world, there is sukham.
Would you say that
that's called being yourself? Okay. Unfortunately, in sleep, we are all ourselves. But we are ourselves not knowing we are. That is the biggest thing, isn't it? But and that condition is can be disturbed, because again disturbed. But in jnanam, you are yourself knowing you are. When you are yourself knowing you are, there is happiness. In ignorance, you are yourself, then that's there is sukham. It's called swasthane. Remaining in one's own place. Okay? Being at home. Being yourself is being at home.
Would you say it is going to lead to samadhi?
No. I did not use the word samadhi at all here. I'm very conscious. Because samadhi is also like sleep only. Samadhi is not the sleep. Samadhi is like the sleep.
Yeah.
Like when I say, this object, external world also is like the dream. Okay, if I say that, please understand. If I say, this waking universe is like the dream, I'm not saying waking universe is not the dream, but it is like the dream means it is as good as the dream. It means it is also transient. It's also temporary. It comes and goes. Dream comes and goes. There's no permanent dream. Who can say, I'm dreaming? The dream is temporary. The dream state experience has to undergo change. Any experience is subject to change. There's no permanent experience. The dream experience has to undergo change for you to have the waking state experience or deep sleep state experience. Therefore, this world also is what? Temporary. Once you fall asleep, there's no waking universe. When there's experience of deep sleep state or dream state, there's no waking state experience. It's also temporary. Therefore, it's a subject to change. Therefore, we say what? This waking universe also is as good as dream. It comes and goes. It's not permanent. Similarly, when I say samadhi experience also is as good as sleep. It is not the sleep. It is like the sleep. In samadhi also, ajnanam is there. Samaya sam avek asam knowledge is there, but still ajnanam is there. I mean, you do not know you are. You do not know that you are Brahma. It is like after negating Anandamaya Kosha, then you still, you say, oh, then where is Sukhamam? I want experience. I negate all the layers of personality. Then where is the Sukham? I want experience that something. We search for experience of Sukham. No, don't search for experience of Sukham. That Sukham, there is only source of manifestation. The source of manifestation of Sukham is Swarupam of the experiencer. Everything is negated as experienced. What cannot be finally negated at all as an object is the experiencer. Is it clear? The experiencer cannot be negated. You are negated up to what? Up to whatever can be negated as object of experience. The ajnana vritti has been negated. Sukha vritti has been negated. Together negated as Anandamaya Kosha. Because objects of experience. It's object of experience. Isn't it? So negated after that, what is there to negate as object? Who is there afterwards? The experience alone is there. Okay? Who is the one who negates? The negator, isn't it? So the experiencer, there's an experiencer because of the presence of which whom the experience is possible, isn't it? That experiencer has no form. It's a formless, abstract, subtlest vastu, which is. That is which is, which alone is. And then undergo change. There's a changeless reality. That doesn't come and go. Always there is the knower, experiencer. The experiencer, the knower is always. And the knowing is the swarupam. That's why there's always the knower. The experiences, the objects of experience change. Experience change, but experiencer is the same. And that experiencer you arrive at. So Panchakosha Viveka helps you arrive at the experiencer, the only experiencer who is there always without undergoing any changes. That experiencer you search for, there is no experiencer other than the reality. Then you resolve that experiencer status in the very very reality. Which is of the nature of pure knowledge. There's no experience at all. Cognitively resolve the experiencer status. You say, what is this pure knowledge? Which is implied by the term Brahma or Atma, which is the swarupam of every individual. And it is that pure reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge or pure consciousness is the only source of manifestation of fullness, happiness, sukham. Therefore, that reality is of the nature of sukham. Hope you got it. Sukhaswarupam. Atma is sukhaswarupaha. The reality implied by the term Atma is of the nature of fullness. That's what we say, sukhaswarupaha. Sukham. Happiness. It is not experienced. It is very swarupam. Source. If you experience sukham, there must be source of experience, source of sukham. the source of knowledge, the source of happiness, the source of fullness is the truth. So there you don't wait anymore for experiencing. I, the experiencer, am the reality. I am of the nature of fullness, happiness. I think I made it clear. If it is not clear, we'll take a next class, okay? You can go for a tea now. Om.